Here's some Stoke FM news for Friday, May 12, 2023. I'm Megan Dooling. For the first time in 14 years, snowmobilers in Revelstoke had access to areas of Frisbee Ridge that had been closed off. The Revelstoke Snowmobile Club restricted riding where the Frisbee Ridge caribou herd wintered, but when the BC government declared last fall that the herd is functionally extirpated, the club lifted the closure. Functionally extirpated doesn't mean there aren't any caribou left. It means there are less than 10 reproducing females. The BC government said in an email it estimates the herd consists of 8 or 9 caribou now. Amber Lane is with the Revelstoke Snowmobile Club. She said this winter many people explored areas of the ridge that had been closed. It's a positive economic development for the town that it's open now, she said. Boulder Mountain had been the premier area for riding, but this winter more people rode in Frisbee, she said. Lane called the club's 14-year voluntary closure an act of goodwill. The mountain caribou herds around Revelstoke are generally in a poor state. Parks Canada, at the end of March, moved the last surviving caribou, a cow, from the Columbia South herd to a maternity pen near Nacusp. The Columbia South herd lived in Mount Revelstoke and Glacier National Parks. That cow and 9 others in the maternity pens near Nacusp will be released this summer into the Central Selkirk's herd range. The intersection of wilderness and recreation was the topic of a conference held this week in Revelstoke by the Columbia Mountain Institute of Applied Ecology. Many groups were in attendance, including these 3 men.
Why Haskalal is Squeeze Kalchen, Dixon Trebasket, Smoke Kamin?
And Jay Squish Chail, Dixon Pinkton, Richard Armstrong.
Why Haskahaya, Richard Dizatel?
Dixon Trebasket, Richard Armstrong, and Rick Dosatel held an impromptu caribou ceremony at the conference. I pulled them outside afterwards, curious about the intent of the ceremony. Dixon Trebasket is Silux and lives in Similkameen.
I was learning about the caribou, the mountain caribou, back in 2010, 11, and 12, and it became apparent that we were on the road of decline and eventually expedited and to the herd. So we thought that at least we should be having a ceremony praying for them on their journeys onto life. We didn't expect them to become no longer there. By the time we had our fifth ceremony, they were loaded into a truck and taken to actually Revelstoke here to pen up at 85 kilometer on the Revelstoke Reach Dam here behind the Revelstoke Dam. So that's where they took the 6 remaining herd. There was 1 female left behind over there. And there's been a non-process of about, you know, the penning project up here north of Revelstoke. And right now there's a penning project happening in the cusp where there's, I think, 9 pregnant female there. And, you know, learning and all the problems that have. But we decided that back in 2014 that we needed to have a ceremony. And Charles here, my trainer, my mentor, he was there at the very first one where we had to go inside like a little badger down into the, dig a hole into that snow up on the Selmo Crescent is where we had our first very ceremony. There's a cabin up there and a big large parking lot. And we really didn't have an understanding what we were doing. It was just from our heart and, you know, the importance of caribou and where do we go from there. We thought that it's important that we start honoring these creatures and, like you said, the pressures that they're experiencing. And it was really ironic once they were loaded up into the cattle truck there. And I got a picture of it at that gas station by Selmo Crescent. And the next day, the skiers and recreators were in their home. Not long, just days. The day after they were removed, the skiers were already into that water basin.
Rick Dosatel is the Nyacks. He's a member of the Colville Confederated Tribes in Washington State.
I'm not that type of a religious type man, and this here and that there, but when people would ask me, where have you been, what you been doing? I said, well, I've been up to the caribou ceremony. And then they started asking me, you know, what is it about the caribou? What's the plight of the caribou? I said, well, they're just damn near like us there. The Sinai people are just damn near extinct now. And so that phrase brings up questions and everything that pertains in that extinction clause and whatnot, that it raises their curiosity level, and they want to learn more about these caribou and why the plight of them is so valuable that they're disappearing.
The government of Canada declared Sinai extinct in 1956 when Canada and the U.S. were negotiating the first Columbia River Treaty. Despite the fact that their traditional territory spread between the Canada-U.S. border, and many were still alive in Washington state. Rick Dussatel was arrested in 2010 for hunting elk in Canada. He argued in court that it's his inherent right to hunt because his traditional territory runs north, up the Columbia River past Revelstoke. The Supreme Court of Canada in 2021 acknowledged this right. Now, Sinaiks of the Colville Confederacy are recognized by government entities in Canada, including the province of British Columbia and the city of Revelstoke.
And so when I go to the caribou ceremonies and I pray for the caribou and stuff like that there, it's not really to pay attention to myself. It's just to bring attention to the fact that there's something out there that needs to be looked at. And I try to pass that word on wherever I can. And yeah, sometimes it's just like in this conference and stuff here. You talk to the right people sometimes, you talk to a lot of people sometimes, and every now and then there's that one person in there that can really get the ball rolling.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Skalken. This question my name is Richard Armstrong. I'm from Penticton. I was raised to do ceremony. It's a responsibility that's handed down to me, and teaching these guys to begin with about understanding that connection that you have when you talk about the caribou and what that means to our people. My grandmother took me over to Sinaitchikstam and showed me where the crossing was. That place is still called Sinkaramshiustan, which means the swimming across place. When we parked there, my grandmother pointed out that one mountain that comes. She said, as a little girl, that her family's and onward knows that a caribou would gather on that mountain towards the lake, and over a few days they would just get more and more and more and more and more. Our people would be on the west side of that place, where it's only one place they swim across. When they get a big herd of them, the first one would get into the lake and swim across, and they'd all get in the water and swim across. And our people would be there, and they would take one or two and let all the rest go. That herd that would swim across when my grandmother was 13, 14 years old, they go all the way down through there to the edge right over to Look and Christina Lake. And there used to be that whole herd that used to go there. My uncle Charlie Armstrong went over there, and I think he was the last person to ever harvest a big bull from there. And when I was growing up, he had these horns against the barn that was leaning there, and he'd tell me the story about that. So when I think about the caribou and our connection to the caribou, and I listen to people that say, oh, we're taking care of the caribou, we're responsible for them. And I've been listening to that, and it's sad that their connection and their care of the caribou is they didn't care for them at all, because now that herd is extirpated. There was one left, and they we had that brought back up to the cusp. But to me, when they say we took care of that herd, that's not taken care of when they become extirpated. So when you think about our connection to the caribou yesterday and the last week, we went up Micah Creek, Micah Dam, and we went across the lake to the old stand of trees that are biggest from here to that other tree, old growth. And to look at, to me, to understand what's happening to the moss that the caribou need. The caribou depends on that moss. That cow that they rescued to bring up to the cusp, in order for that cow to survive, they had to go and collect moss to feed that cow. Otherwise, that cow might have not made it, you know. But to me, when you look at areas like up here in their area, the moss is in very bad state. You know, I mean, where are they going to get that important food that they need? Those are the things that are not talked about in taking care of the caribou herds. And to me, I think that's something that should be looked at, the availability of why is that moss not there anymore that they need. And those kind of things, but connecting to the caribou, we as Shiilch, as Skilch, as people, indigenous, we know that the four-legged, the water creatures, the flying creatures, and the plants with their roots were animal people. They were here before us. And they, the animal people, gave us everything we need today, and they're still doing that. The animals are still providing everything that people need. We're called the people to be, and they're still providing that, and they continue to provide that. So when they're that kind of provider, they're like our parents. And if they're like our parents, then we have to be able to give thanks and honor what they do for us. To me, that's what ceremony is about. Ceremony is not bragging rights, not standing on a pedestal and saying, I do the ceremony and I do the prayer for the caribou. It's not about that. It's a responsibility that has to be done. And to me, when I look at people like my friends here, you know, they understand that responsibility that has to be done.
Can I ask another question, or is that all you guys have to say? Well, I'm just wondering, like, if you look at a map of where people like to recreate, like ski and snowmobile, and if you look at where the caribou live, it's kind of the same place. And people who live in these areas love the mountains, they love the caribou, but then at the same time, that's how we make money in Revelstoke. That's how Revelstoke, it's by recreating in these areas. So how do you get the message out when, like, the snowmobile club makes so much money every year, for example?
One of the things that's important about that is educating the snowmobile club, because most of them are very careful of what they do. But there's some, as always, some people that like to take their snowmobiles out and chase the caribou, harass them, circle them, and drive circles around them. What that does is makes trails for not only the wolf to cut the corner, the caribou. But when the snowmobiles are chasing these caribou around and harassing them with the snowmobiles, a lot of them injure their legs, and it makes them weak. And this is the kind of understanding that snowmobilers need to be more responsible.
Amber Lane, with the Revelstoke Snowmobile Club, was also at the conference. She said that snowmobilers in Revelstoke wouldn't tolerate knowing someone was chasing a caribou on their machine. Members self-police, she said, and there's a strong moral code.
Thinking about that, who and where and how do we make that connection with snowmobilers and motorbikes and quads and the things that they take out to tear up the country. In the summer, in the springtime, when they're not using their snowmobiles, they take their powerful bikes and their quads, and they literally tear up the country. You know, there's places where you see where they've just ruined that hillside. And that's kind of the education that needs to be understood. You know, if they're getting the people that allow them to be there and getting money for that, then they should be part of restoring that. It's the same way with loggers. It's the same way with old roads. There's culverts where they've directed the water that used to be a wetland here. Now the water goes over here. They have to be, it's part of their job to take that culvert out and let the water go back to where it's supposed to be. And water is going to be worse from here on. It's never going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And in my lifetime, I don't know how many more years left, but, you know, when there's no more water, even right now in the mountains where I live, the springs that our horses used to drink from, it doesn't exist anymore. And it's only going to get worse. Hiwai limlimt.
Waihaskalali squeeskalak. I have a more of a management point of view towards that one. It's about designating land for recreation, selective harvesting of timber. But I think that we have enough technology and knowledge now that, you know, like this table, we either cut it in half or we make a triangle piece and say, well, here's a designated zone. We understand recreation is important to people, and we need to put land use plans together so that we can manage the people. It's not about the animals. It's all about people. And how do they... So land designation. Hey, here's your place. You're going to be able to snowmobile here, do whatever, mountain bike, build trails, but you're only allowed in this area. Right now, our society is a very righteous-based society, and it's my God-given right to go anywhere and where I want to go. And, you know, the helicopter companies, they went under the radar. Nobody even questioned them yesterday about how their impact is. We fly in, but it's like any other wild animal, anything from the air is a predator. Even if you're a caribou, you're something that's huge like a helicopter, you're going to run. So those are the things that, you know, government... Why does helicopters have so much? Is it because it's the elite? Is it the rich people that are enjoying this? Because I'm sure I couldn't afford $2,600 a day to go ski it, or an hour for a helicopter. So I think land management, land designation, sacrifice one piece of the land. This is it. The rest is left for grizzly bears, wolverines, caribou. That's how I see it.
Amber Lane from the Snowmobile Club said the club has areas designated from the province that they manage, including Boulder Mountain and Frisbee Ridge. The club controls where sledders park, and they give messaging about responsible riding in the parking lots, in their cabins, and on their trails. When areas of Frisbee Ridge were closed to protect the caribou herd, club members patrolled the ridge to make sure people weren't violating the closure. She said the club monitored tagged caribou and had roam enclosures depending on where the animals were. She thinks that having land set aside for snowmobilers and land set aside for wildlife would be viable in Revelstoke. Kim Reeves is the president of the Four Wheel Drive Association in BC. He's based out of Maple Ridge and was also at the conference. From his perspective, he thinks we're a long way off from having sections of land for recreating only and sections closed off. He echoed Dixon Trebasket, saying that British Columbians have a sense of entitlement now to go into the bush wherever they like.
Just to add one more little thing, that's all I want to add and I'm done, is that it's more about managing people rather than plants and animals or the caribou.
Reporting for Stoke FM in Revelstoke, I'm Megan Dooling.